Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Next up on Atlanta Business Radio today, please join me in welcoming to the broadcast with Achieve Occupational Therapy Solutions owner and CEO, Miss Normani Ricks. So yeah, what'd you learn out of that last segment?
Well, I learned the male perspective. I think about that a lot, work-life balance as a mom and as a business owner. So it's nice to know that I guess a man can step outside of his pride and kind of think about that as well and actually take enough time to write a book about it. So I appreciate that.
You're very welcome. It was not an easy process.
But we're all better for it, aren't we?
Right.
Even just having a conversation around it makes me feel more energetic around the whole set of topics. Mm-hmm. Mission, purpose of your outfit. What are you out there trying to do for folks?
So my business is called Achieve Occupational Therapy Solutions. I started working with children with vision disorders because my daughter was diagnosed with a vision disability. It's called convergence insufficiency, and she also has accommodative disorder. So it's a group of neurological vision disorders. So if you go and get an eye exam, you might test 20/20. So that's only testing nearsighted and farsighted, but it's not testing how the eyes work together. So nearsighted and farsighted and astigmatism are all the words that we're used to hearing when you go take a vision exam. And those are monocular vision disorders. But what I'm working with children on are binocular vision disorders.
So when you say working with children, that suggests to me that there are some things you can do to mitigate some of the effects of these conditions, exercises.
Correct. So a lot of these vision disorders kind of present like dyslexia, which is another word that we're used to hearing. Mm-hmm. So when a child is reading, they'll tend to skip lines when they're reading and tend to reverse letters or put letters in the wrong order when they're writing. So the child can be brilliant and tell you everything that they saw or read, but they're not good at taking tests because they can't focus for that long. So that leads to a lot of children being misdiagnosed with ADHD.
So how do you properly diagnose what you're describing?
So there are tests that you can do in the classroom, and there's also what I call a school vision questionnaire. So if you notice a child that's very smart and bright and you're like, why aren't they getting good grades? You can start asking them questions about, are your eyes getting fatigued? Are you having a lot of double vision? Are you having headaches when you read for a long period of time? Or are you easily distracted when we do reading comprehension, stuff like that?
So is this a little bit or a lot out of the mainstream? Like, is the school nurse looking for this kind of thing, or this is all new to them?
It is all new to them. Actually, I am a member of Lions Club here, and mm-hmm. we're doing pretty much all the vision screenings in Georgia right now. We've started out the school year. We're already up to about 400 vision screenings. So I'm teaching them how to diagnose these conditions, and I'm also reaching out to the school systems so that they can understand better about these children and these vision disabilities so that they're not being missed.
So when you first started approaching people about this in these sometimes bureaucratic systems, or maybe you're still finding this, I mean, did they initially, you know, where you've been all our lives, come on in, or were they a little, you know, little standoffish, a little skeptical?
I'm still in the middle of that. I'm still in the middle of that. There's only three other vision therapy clinics in the whole state of Georgia, and kids are mandated to be screened for vision in the first grade, the third grade, the seventh grade, and I believe the 11th grade in Georgia. But every state isn't that stringent as Georgia is, but there's only certain tests that are mandatory. So the vision test for the binocular screening isn't mandatory, even though it does affect children's learning and their behavior.
So how is this a business? Or is it, I mean, is it a revenue producing?
So as an occupational therapist, most people that have children with learning disabilities or autism or ADHD are seeking physical therapy, occupational therapy, and speech therapy for their child. So as a part of this, we do different assessments for visual, perceptual, auditory processing, and other types of screenings and evaluations where we can find these disorders for children, and then the children will come to the clinic and get therapy for that.
So much of what you're saying really resonates with me on a personal level, and I'll share with you why. Reading, vision, sports before people got bigger and had more work ethic than I did, all candidly came quite easy to me. Mm-hmm. My younger brother, 2 years younger than I am, I don't know if he had dyslexia. I don't know if he had what you had, but stuff like that came harder to him. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't like to talk about my brother much because he's younger, better looking, and makes more money. So I don't really – he's a good guy. I just spent the weekend with him. But one of the things that came of that, I think he – really, he had to work harder all the way through. Now, my folks were educators, and maybe they were a little more proactive in getting whatever testing was available. And I can remember him like taking karate lessons to help with his balance and all this kind of stuff. So I've seen it, and I've seen him come through, and he really is incredibly successful and certainly very bright. But school didn't come as easy to him, and in the early years, sports didn't come as easy to him. So that's one of the things to at least kind of look out for, huh?
Correct. It does affect hand-eye coordination as well. So mm-hmm. Just the neurological pathways in the brain are kind of affected for these disorders.
But there are things, like they did, and I guess it had some positive impact, there are things you can do are you rewiring? What's going on?
That's exactly what's going on. The brain has a lot of neuroplasticity. And if you catch it early, then it really helps these children. So
what can we do to help? What do you need more of right now?
So, with my daughter, who I told you has the vision disorders, we do a lot of eye gaze training. So, and we do eye patching where you patch one eye and work on that eye, and then you patch the other eye and read something with that eye, and then you put the two eyes together and work on that. We also have different strategies and techniques. So using like a ruler or a book marker under each line when you're reading so you won't skip lines. Practicing things such as visual closure. So if you're drawing a circle or a star, the child has to complete one side and you complete the other side. Or things like where's Waldo, trying to find Waldo in a picture, or looking at two pictures and saying which one is different and which one is the same.
I remember that my granddaddy used to get like this neighborhood paper. And the pictures really looked very much alike, and you had to pick out the differences. That was kind of hard, but that's a good exercise. Huh?
Correct.
All right, so what do you need, though? You need more awareness. You need more practitioners, more people in the school systems and other systems who are trying to serve our youth. You need them having these conversations?
Correct, exactly.
And is there formal education, informal education, other resources that we ought to be trying to get in their hands, or do we need to go back even more and fund and find a way to craft these resources?
Well, there are some books out there. One of my professors, Dr. Mary Warren, she was one of the founders of Vision Therapy and Low Vision Rehab. And there's Dr. Mitchell Scheinman. Him and his wife have wrote a lot of books about pediatric occupational therapy and vision disorders. He's actually an optometrist and his wife is an occupational therapist. So I've been to a lot of his courses and learned a lot from him.
All right. So I'm a young father. And I've got a 3-year-old. I don't know what time. I don't want to miss this, right? And so what should I do? Should I get them in front of someone? Should I do some things at home? What are some, if I'm hearing this, what should I be doing?
So when a child is in their developmental stages, about 6 to 9 months, it really helps to have those cause and effect type of games. So if you push a button and something lights up,
right.
That really helps children with their developmental skills. And then do you remember the old game where you put the square in the open the square in the square, the circle.
We had a
circle.
Ball. Yes. We had a ball that we did that with.
Correct.
And then I don't know how you got the stuff back out of the ball. Maybe mom did that part, but I do remember there was a star and a square and a circle and a half moon. Yeah,
correct.
I remember that.
Those types of things help children. You think they're just toys, but they really are developmental games.
All right. So doing that it's not going to hurt anyone.
No.
And it might really help. Somebody, you got a take on this, Carlos?
I find it fascinating. I had a son. Our youngest son had some vision problems when he was really young, and given a 7-year-old, 8-year-old a $700 pair of glasses is take a big gulp and like, oh, don't let anything happen. So I love hearing what you're doing.
Great, thank you.
So we do. We need to do a better job of awareness. We need to get folks having these conversations. But I got to go back to the whole entrepreneur thing. I mean, it's one thing to be an advocate. Mm-hmm. It's one thing for one of your boxes with the right boundaries around it. Like mm-hmm. we discussed earlier, being you invest time, you know, during the week advocating for this thing and helping as best you can. It's a completely different thing to say, this is going to be my business. Help me understand the timeline on this. Were you already sort of in the field?
Yes. I worked with individuals with traumatic brain injury. Mm-hmm. I was in the Navy for a while. So I was stationed at Naval Medical Center, San Diego. So I did a lot with traumatic brain injury and, blast injuries and concussions. So we worked a lot of neurological rehab there. And, I actually had an optometrist take me under his wing while I was there, and he was big on these vision disorders, and he was big on occupational therapists actually addressing them. So he taught me a lot about that. And also, I started, after my daughter was diagnosed, I kind of started putting two and two together. I was like, this is the same stuff I already know how to do. So I started working with her at home, and I noticed that her reading Lexile score went up 400 points in 1 year. She was really struggling in the third grade.
I have no idea what that is, but that sounds like a
yes.
important thing.
So, her reading comprehension, increased tremendously. And, every year the children have to take a standardized test, called the CRCT here in Georgia. And, for the fifth grade year, they really, really ramp it up, amp it up so that, they can see where the kids stand when they get to middle school. So this past year, my daughter as a fifth grader scored on the 9th grade level for reading and writing when she barely could pass a reading comprehension test in 3rd grade. So we've been working hard for the past 2 years.
Wow. That has got to be incredibly encouraging. So can we expect in the fairly near future, the Normandy methodology, the Normandy vision pack that the school systems can buy, or that we can, or you know what, nowadays, y'all can't see me on the radio, but I made this gesture like it was a pack of papers, but it could be on some sort of online thingy, right?
I absolutely plan on writing a book about this and making some handouts and getting them out to the school system.
So you have a book in you just to talk about all of these topics and then maybe some actual job aids. I don't know if that's the right word, but some actual things to people can use. And will you make some that the lay person can utilize with their kids?
Absolutely.
That would be important to me, like at home, right? A lay person being able to use I don't even know what it would be, a workbook, an exercise
Correct.
Thing?
It will be more like a workbook, yes. And eventually it will be sold on Amazon as well.
So it's early days for you in all of this.
Correct.
But you ought to take a tremendous, you ought to have a great deal of hope listening to Carlos talk, right?
Yes.
About where he's been. Maybe take some advice and cordon it off and don't let it consume you 24/7, 365. Yes. But so we're looking at dad books, resources, and increased awareness and just continue to try to make an impact. So school system sounds like a no-brainer.
Yes, and parents with children with different developmental delays and disabilities.
All right, okay. Mm-hmm. So coming back, short horizon, mm-hmm. what's next for you? Where are you going to be putting your energy and effort next 6, 12 months?
Right now, we have to get through all these vision screenings, and I have to train everyone that I'm doing the vision screenings with how to actually capture these diagnoses, these different disabilities with the vision. And then we'll be educating teachers and school nurses and counselors and principals and different people like that.
All right, so that's the early focus.
Yes.
So there's training these folks,
yes.
And if we take a page out of Carlos's philosophy, there's train the trainer.
Correct.
Right. So we can really replicate and leverage this thing.
Yes.
And then all the while, we know that we've got some things coming behind this in terms of resources. Is there also maybe do you envision an advocacy element to this to where maybe you try to influence legislatures to invest a little more time in at least exploring the idea of allocating more funds, or
absolutely,
or is that a problem? Maybe it's not.
No,
a problem.
No, that's absolutely the goal long term. I'm a member of the National Small Business Association. Mm-hmm. So we write a lot of letters to the congressman. So
send him this interview too. So
yes,
look,
exactly.
I'm going everywhere. You got to help me.
But I definitely plan to try to help change for Georgia first, and then maybe the nation, and then also do a lot of medical mission trips. So they always need neurological peds in all these places. So I definitely feel like I should take it global as well.
Well, congratulations on the momentum that you're already achieving, and keep up the good work.
Thank you so much.
Well, thank you so much for sharing your story. All right, if someone wants to learn more, mm-hmm. and they want to have a conversation with you or one of your certified trainers, mm-hmm. or whomever in the near future, what's the best way for them to connect with you?
Okay, you can go to www.achievevisioncenter.com. Or you can email me at nricks@achieveoccupationaltherapysolutions.com.
Well, thank you so much for making the time to come in and share this with us. And I want to be here, and we want to be here to try to help you any way we can, get the word out and get some of these resources to where they belong.
Great. Thank you so much.
All right. Until next time, this is Stone Payton for our guest today, our producer, Blake, and everyone here at the Business Radio X family saying we'll see you next time on Atlanta Business Radio.